I need ears to hear.
I need ears to hear.
I need eyes to see.
I need eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
You're really talking to me.
You're really talking to me.
Amen?
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to be skipping through because I don't know exactly where he's going to bounce, but I guarantee you we're going for a ride. I want to start with verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men. I want you to see that part. Sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Agreed. Verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It's not good news at all. It's a works program. That's where I was brought up. Which is really no gospel at all. It's no good news. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the good news of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. That's how gentle he is. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that, than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And then, you know, he's saying it twice. Why is he saying it twice? Because that program of works was known throughout that day. The Jews had it with the God that they served, who wanted to be their God, but it was all law and rules and regulations and works. If you look at the areas of Galatia and the whole Roman Empire, it's all works under different gods. You had to have sacrifices on every street corner. You had a different demon that you worshipped. So they were all accustomed to works. And here comes Paul saying it's all done. Jesus did all the work. All you have to do is accept him as your Savior and as your God. Verse 10. Am I not trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Change the word Christ to anointing. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of the anointing. Why is the word Christ and anointing in synonymous value?
Because Christ means the anointed one.
Right on. My religious upbringing puts the word Christ and Jesus as one.
Right, which is not true.
My grasp is when I look at Christ, it's him. It's not him being called the anointed one. So let there be an adjustment in your truth today, that when you're talking about Jesus Christ, it's not his last name.
That's right.
Okay? It's really his nature as being the anointed Messiah. So when your anointed Messiah is inside of you, it's going to change people around you. And some will be PO'd at you with no reason. They're going to hate your guts with no reason. Because the seeds of anointing came when the Holy Ghost came in. All right?
That's right.
Causing you to be what? An irritation to the darkness. And if it's low light, the bugs are going to be everywhere. And the more you have of him inside of you, the lighter and the brighter you get, you become a bug zapper. I've told you that years and years ago. Mm-hmm. The Lord showed me that bug zapper in the backyard. And the bugs would come and they'd go zit. And there was one more dead one. So if they come close to you, okay, just close your eyes right now. Put one hand up. Say, I've got to get this in my head.
I've got to get this in my head.
So that I'll understand.
So that I'll understand.
That Christ is the anointed one in me.
That Christ is the anointed one in me.
And he's the light of the world.
And he's the light of the world.
And if those bugs come close.
And if those bugs come close.
They're going to get zapped.
They're going to get zapped.
Because I have in me.
Because I have in me.
The light of the world.
The light of the world.
And it's getting brighter every day.
And it's getting brighter every day.
Stronger every day.
Stronger every day.
And the enemy don't like it.
And the enemy don't like it.
If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of the anointed. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So the good news he's preaching is a byproduct of the revelation of Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen. When you and I trust in the revelations that are available to us, our lives are going to change. And they are changing.
That's right.
Not just you changing, but the ones around you. Some are irritated. Some are choosing to change. Because they see something in you and they hear something coming from you that in one way they can't stand, but in another way it attracts. It depends on the callings and giftings in them. So when Paul gets his revelation from Jesus Christ, what about me and you? Is Paul to be an example? Yes, he is. Paul came from a background of more rules and regulations than you and I could ever dream of. And he followed them all. Until he wore himself out. Amen? 13. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. How intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Traditions. But when God, who set me apart from birth, really, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me.
Amen.
So that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days, 2 weeks. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the church of Judea that are in Christ. He's not saying that they're not in Christ, but they were following both. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Whoa. He's not afraid to make that comment. Are you aware that there are some that can actually choose to praise God because of who they are and who they speak that they belong to? Chapter 2, verse 1, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation. That's important right there. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders. I want to stress the part about seems to be leaders. Why can that comment be so important? If you go to any traditional church today, would you have a hard time to distinguish which ones are the leaders?
Probably.
Traditional?
You couldn't do it without revelation.
You're not catching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the leaders in classical
the leaders
dressed differently.
Huh?
The leaders in classical are dressed differently.
Dressed differently,
you can go correct. Over here and you can... You know who the leader is. But
you know who the leader is because of his outfit.
Right.
Because of the way he speaks. Mm-hmm. The way he's gone to school to talk. Mm-hmm. The language he uses, the terms he uses, gives you right then and there an awareness, oh, he's a leader.
He's religious. Sorry.
Huh? You like that?
Yeah, I said something I just... No.
But you hear where I'm coming from.
I hear it, exactly.
Okay? Why is it important for us to see what St. Paul is saying about the church of his day? The leadership was not visible, made known by their garments or by their words. They were not displaying who they were in their position to make everybody look up. Mm-hmm. That's important. Mm-hmm. Because the day that you and I start making out that we are more than what we should be in Christ, we should not be known because of an outfit or because of the way we speak. We should be known by who we belong to, filled with love for the broken. Paul was filled with love for the broken. He brought Barnabas and he brought Titus. Again, but I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders. For years that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in the anointed Jesus and to make us slaves. That's the church of today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slaves.
Indeed.
The church leaders wouldn't like this term. But you listen to those that belong to a traditional type church, and you can hear between the lines what they think of their leadership. And how there's such a lifting up of those that are in positions of authority and their value system, because they can't compare themselves to them. Those are for the higher ups, and the peons are below and have zero value. And if they try to open up, they're going to be put down immediately. Who do you think you are speaking to me this way? Yes.
May I?
Yeah.
In verse 3, I think the New King James Version here, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. Presents it in a way that you can think that the desire of Paul was that they be circumcised, as compared to experiencing the liberty they have. Mm-hmm. And so Titus, being Greek, should have been more compelled and less free. And the fact that he was not circumcised shows that he was walking in the liberty of the message that Paul was bringing.
Absolutely. So he was a witness of the fruit.
Right.
Okay. I had a snap vision as I was giving you verse 4. This goes back many, many years. But I had a lady that was a prominent member of St. Anne's Church. She's gone to be with the Lord now. Now I'm not picking on her. But I also worked for her for over 2 years. Okay? She was one of the officials of that church. Not because she was a woman, but because she had the ability to control. And her family had influence with the bishop. She had a person in her family that was involved in a religious life. We're having a bazaar for 4 or 5 days or whatever it was, maybe 2 weekends, I don't remember the details. But I'm in charge of cooking all the food for this bazaar, okay? And they're selling all kinds of tickets and, you know, typical bazaar atmosphere. And so I'm in the kitchen, and I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've had quite a few people healed in the prayer group. She's aware of the prayer group. She's very much anti-Christ at that time, anti-anointed. I stress that part. So she's walking and limping into the kitchen. And she was in her probable 50s, I would say, at the time. 50s could be early 60s. I'm in my 30s, late 30s. So I'm very aware that she's having such a hard time to walk that automatically I say, well, you know what? And I called her by her first name. Would you like me to pray for you? Because I believe if we lay hands on you, you will be free to walk in freedom. Have you any idea what came out of her mouth?
Probably wasn't pretty.
Who do you think you are, Kim Bergeron? Mm. Okay. Mm. Could she have received healing?
No.
Yeah. Couldn't receive it. The power was there. She was not
she
willing to
receive
it.
Right. But it also implied, I'm so above you that I know who in the world do you think you are? From a whole mindset that she was up here and I was the slave. Okay? Because after all, you don't have so-and-so in your family in the hierarchy of this church. But I do. I have more value in me than you've ever thought of, and you think about laying hands on my leg? No way. Mm-hmm. I remember turning toward the kitchen sink. And there was an awareness of the pain in my heart, because I knew what it was, you know, just clear. I was just totally, totally unacceptable. Plus, me daring to say, see, who do you think you are? Okay. And I remember looking at that dirty water, and you know, there was an awareness that I was totally empty at the moment. I felt like I was going to go down into the drain emotionally. Okay. So if by any chance that you believe that it was the truth that was hitting me, or the lie that was being perpetrated towards me, how long did you think it took for me to recover?
Quite a while.
Yeah.
Years.
Quite a while.
If the enemy would try to stop you from ever seeing that again, because you don't want to experience that kind of...
Who wants another dose of that kind of pain?
Oh, horrible exactly. Pain, yeah.
Verse 5, we did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, you hear verse 6? As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. I could not say that at that time. God does not judge by external appearances. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jew, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Go ahead.
In the...
Yes.
The
go ahead.
Passion.
Yeah.
From verse 6.
Yep.
Even the most honored and esteemed among the brothers were not able to add anything to my message. Who they are before men makes no difference to me, for God's not impressed by the reputations of men. And then there's a little note down here, by the mass of men. So they concluded that I was entrusted with taking the gospel to the non-Jewish people, just as Peter was entrusted with taking it to the Jews. For the same God who anointed Peter to be an apostle to the Jews also anointed me as an apostle to those who are not Jewish. When they all recognized this grace operating in my ministry, James, Peter, and John, the esteemed followers of Jesus,
yep,
extended to me the warmth of Christian fellowship and honored my calling to minister to the non-Jewish people. They simply requested one thing of me, that I would remember the poor and needy, which was the burden I was already carrying in my heart.
Cool, huh? We're in Galatians, girl. Okay. I want you to go to chapter 4.
Verse 12. Well, maybe verse 8 should be better. It'd be a little stronger. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are now gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my effort on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. That statement helped me into an awareness that I could bow and become aware and sociable to the broken and not have that attitude that many Christians have, that they're so high that they can't be touched or can touch anyone else. I repeat, 12. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Some people think that Paul was never sick. This proves differently. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. The religious leaders were taught, if you were sick, you were untouchable.
Right.
If you touched the sick person, you became unclean and unacceptable. So now he's showing them, wake up. Instead, you welcome me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. I love this part. As if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now come before you, your enemy, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but not for good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. Verse 19 is very important. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until the anointing is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. And he goes on. Completing the anointing in us is, I believe, where the house of prayer is walking right now. And as the intercession continues, me for you, you for me, ba 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 ba, whatever, however it's needed, stay focused on what he wants. Stay focused on intercession until Christ is formed in each of us. That's why the visions come. That's why the press in the spirit comes to intercede for Linda when she's having a hard time, etc. She may not advertise, I'm having a hard time, but the Holy Spirit can tell you.
Amen.
And when he does, begin to pray.
Yes.
I had a snap vision yesterday afternoon. I saw two people. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, sit in your chair and intercede. So I got in my chair. I lifted my hands to the Lord and I said, I don't know how to pray for these two, but I'm going to just pray in the Spirit, because I don't know what else to do, because I can still see their faces in my head. So I began to pray. Within 1 hour, I got a message. Please pray for us. But it had already been done. So I sent back the message. Why? Because the Holy Ghost doesn't need a telephone. Okay?
Thank you.
Sometimes you may cry out, and I'm not against crying out. But believe me, they were able to humble themselves, which is what I responded. God's grace is upon you, girls. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's already been done. 45 minutes ago. All right? The prayer was answered before they called. I mean, you know, I'm not advertising me. I'm advertising the Lord in me.
Amen.
So would you lift your right hand and say, Father, I want to be on the job.
I want to be on the job.
I want to be like Paul.
I want to be like Paul.
Many children in Christ.
Many children in Christ.
Are yet not adults.
Are yet not adults.
Childbirth is still going on.
Childbirth is still going on.
As Christ is formed in them.
As Christ is formed in
them. And I'm willing to intercede.
And I'm willing to intercede.
And step in there.
And step in there.
And do whatever you tell me.
And do whatever you tell me.
Until Christ.
Until Christ.
Is formed in them.
Is formed in them.
To the degree, that their freedom, will overflow, and heal their hearts.
Heal their hearts.
In Jesus' name, we pray.
In Jesus' name, we pray.